Daf Yomi, Masechta Review, Masechta Baba Metzia, Tape Number 3.
For subscription information, write us at Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
Entire staff of the Daf Yomi Masechta Review wishes a mazel tov to our Magid Shir, Rabbi Yossi Heber, upon his upcoming marriage to Miss Yiti Wag of Muncie, New York. Today's Magid Shir is Rabbi Menachem of Bell Harbor, New York.
We begin our share at the Mishnah and Daf Mem Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, if someone gives a pikudin of peris to a schaver, the halacha is that the shomer, when he returns the peris to the owner, may subtract from the total amount the amount that normally gets eaten by mice over the period of time that he was watching those peris. For instance, when a person is watching chitim, or rice, or oires, he may subtract 9 chatzoi kavan per kur, per year that he was watching the produce. This cheshbon goes per kur, per year, so that if he was watching it for a longer amount of time, or if he was watching more peiros, he may subtract more accordingly. Rabbi Yechiel ben Nuri disagrees with the Tanakhama and says that it makes no difference to mice how much tefuah is being watched by the shomer. The amount they'll eat from one kur is the same that they will eat from 10 or 20 or 30 kur, and therefore only 9 chatzoi kavan may be subtracted, no matter how many kur the shomer was watching over the year. Our Gemara explains that the svar of the Tanakhama is that when a larger amount of fruits is being watched, more tends to be lost. But Tosis quotes Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi says the svar of the Tanakhama is that achborim are rishoyim, that mice are very wicked, and not only do they eat from the fruits themselves, but they signal to their fellow mice to join them in their eating, and therefore much more is eaten on a larger amount of tefuah. Tosis explains that which our Gemara says is only the Chachamim talking l'divrei Rabbi Yechiel ben Nuri. An additional kasha is asked by Tosis that according to Rabbi Yechiel ben Nuri, l'chayra not only should the amount be the same when a larger amount of peiros is being guarded, but the same should be true when a small amount of peiros is being guarded. No matter how many peiros are being watched by the shomer, the achbarim will always eat the same amount. So why by half a kor don't we subtract the same amount as by a kor? Tosis explains that when a small amount of tefuah is being watched, the mice have very little space to hide in, and therefore they will not eat as much, and less achbarim will be present, and less will be eaten up. The Gemara explains that our Mishnah only discusses a case when the shomer mixed these peiros that he was supposed to watch with his own peiros. In a case where he had put them in a separate corner, of course he could just tell the Baal that gave him the peiros, Harei shel chalof anecha, whatever was eaten was eaten, whatever spoiled is spoiled, it's here, what you gave me, take it back as is. The Mishnah quotes an additional sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda tells us, as the Gemara is Masber, that if a shomer was given the produce to watch after the summer season, when the tevuah is in a very dried out small state, and he returns it after the winter months, when the tevuah is moist and larger, then a certain amount of rottage and eating of the mice cannot be subtracted. The next Mishnah on the Daf tells us that when a shomer is given wine or oil to watch, and again, in a case where he mixed it with his own, he's allowed to subtract when he returns it to the owner for the amount that gets soaked up into the walls of the barrels, and in the case of oil, for shmarim. The Gemara explains that even though in the Mishnah there seems to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, how much wine may be subtracted from a barrel given to watch, there really is no difference. Although the Tanakhama says a sixth of the wine may be subtracted, and Rabbi Yehuda says a fifth, it really only depends on the type of material that was used for the barrels, or on the type of material that was used to line the barrels to prevent it from soaking in more of the wine. An additional machlekes is recorded in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda holds that someone who sells oil may also subtract from the amount of oil that he sold because of shmarim. So that if a person told the schaver he was selling him clear oil, he only has to give him, if he promised him 100 lug, 98 and a half lug per 100. 1.5 lug may be subtracted because of the shmarim. The Gemara in Amud Beis, Abai explains that the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, whether one could subtract an amount of lugim because of sediment shmarim, is totally in the machlokes whether a meicher is allowed to mix shmarim that are on the bottom of his barrel before he pours that oil that he's selling to his chaver. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a meicher is allowed to mix oil with heads which has sediment on the bottom. Because he's allowed to do this, if he didn't, and instead he gave the buyer pure, clear oil, at the end of the 98 and a half lugan, he can say, I didn't mix in the 1.5 lugan of shmarim which are normally present. Therefore, I'm going to subtract that amount from the amount of oil I'm selling you. On the other hand, the Tanakhama holds that a meicher is not allowed to mix in this sediment. Therefore, he must give the buyer a full-fledged 100 lug of oil. Rav Papa disagrees with Abaya and says, Pumfakert, that the exact opposite is true. Rav Yehuda holds that a seller is not allowed to mix in the shmarim. He's not allowed to mix in sediment when he sells pure oil to the buyer. And therefore, the only way he can make a profit is if he subtracts the amount of sediment that normally is in 100 lug. If one were to give a full 100 lug, what profit would he make? As the Lashon of the Gemara is, Zavoin v'zavin, tagrikri, someone who buys and sells without making a profit, is he called a businessman? Is he a merchant? On the other hand, the Tanakhama holds that one is allowed to mix in, and therefore if he did not mix in, it's a raya that he was meichel that, and therefore later he cannot subtract it from the full amount of oil that he promised to give the buyer. The Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Amud Beis tells us two cases of mafkid chavos etzel chaveroi, one by yichud lamakom and one when he was not yichud lamakom, which means in the reisha the owner had not specified a place for the barrel, in the seifa he did. The Gemara in Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan is masbir. The reisha is going according to Rabbi Shmuel and is telling us a chiddush. Rabbi Shmuel's shita is that if someone steals something, he does not need das bailam, he does not need the baal's knowledge in order to return the chafetz. Therefore, the reisha which goes according to him tells us that even if the owner did not specify a place, the shomer, when he moved it incorrectly and wrongly, can return it by just putting it back down. Once he puts it back down, he's no longer responsible for anything that happens to it. The seif of the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that a ganav needs das bailam. Therefore, the shomer, when he took the chavis and moved it shaloi kedin, will not be considered as having been mekayim in the din hashava until after he tells the baal about it. Therefore, when he just puts it back down in the place, he still will be chayiv for anything that happens to it. The reisha says a case where the owner did not give a specified place to tell us the chiddush that Rabbi Shmuel holds his din even when there is no specific place to put it back down to. Any place the shomer puts it down is a considered hashava. The seif, on the other hand, changes to a case of yichud lamakom in order to tell us the chiddush in Rabbi Kiva. Even if there's a specific place to put it back down in, it's not considered hashava unless the owner knows about it. Rabbi Yochanan found no way to explain the Mishnah according to one Tana. And he even said he would carry the clothing to the bathhouse of the one who explained this Mishnah according to one Tana. In fact, the Gemara tells us there is a way to explain the Reisha and the Seif according to one Shita. And that is by explaining that the difference between the Reisha of Lo Yichtolei Makim and the Seif of Yichtolei Makim is that in the Seifa there was a specific place for the Shomer to put the thing back down, and the Shomer did not put it back down in that specific place. Meanwhile, the Gemara does explain that there's Machlekes Amoraim in the din of Shlichas Yad. Tzricha Chesaron or Shlichas Yad ain't Tzricha Chesaron. When a Shomer who is given the job to watch something takes that item he's supposed to watch and has in mind to steal even a part of it, he automatically becomes responsible for the entire thing. Rav holds that that is only if he not only had a mind to take something, but he actually took some out or of the thing. Whereas Levi holds, Shlichas Yad ain't Tzricha Chesaron. Even if he was not Mechasa the item at all, he already becomes responsible for the entire Chafetz. The Gemara tells us different drushes to explain why this should be so. Either is because there's an extra pasuk of Shlichas Yad written by Shomer Sachar after the Torah was already Mechayev Shomer Chinam Shlichas Yad, or like Rava says, because the entire parsha of Shlichas Yad is not necessary, we'd be able to learn out the din Shlichas Yad with a Kal V'Chomer from a Shoyel. If a Shoyel who moves and uses a thing with Rishus is Chayev for any Einsim, Kal V'Chomer a Shomer who has no right to move or use the item If he does it without rishus, of course he'll be chayiv in all einsim. The Gemara in Daf Mem Alpha Mem Beis does mention an interesting svara. When the Gemara says the Kal V'Chomer that if Shomer chinam is chayiv on shlichus yad, certainly is Shomer sachar is chayiv. The Gemara tells us a svara ma'al is Shomer chinam shekein mishalim tashlumei kefil. That Shomer chinam on the one hand has a chumra more than Shomer sachar. A Shomer chinam who swears that an item was stolen from him will be putter from Karen. Nevertheless, if he's caught lying afterwards, he will have to pay kefil. On the other hand, a Shomer sachar will pay immediately Karen. So in a certain way, a Shomer chinam has a chumra more than a Shomer sachar. Tosfos explains that the Mandama who says that's not a svara, and rather Karen b'loy shvu adif for mikvela, of course is the more logical, understandable shita. Of course, if someone is chayv immediately for something, it shows greater responsibility than someone who's putter and just will be chayv kefil if caught lying and swearing falsely. Tosfos says that the shita that says is only saying that it's enough to ask a pircha, but it's not, of course, the shita that says that kefil, paying kefil after swearing falsely, is a chumra more than paying Karen immediately. We go on to the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. There the Mishnah tells us that if someone was given money to watch, if he's on the road, as the Rishonim explain, it's enough for him to tie the money up and carry it. But in the Mishnah's case, he threw it over his back. And that, the Gemara says, is improper shmirah, because the Pasuk says, as Rabbi Yitzchak quotes, Vitzarta kesef biyadcha, and therefore he says that money must be in your hand. The Rishonim explained that doesn't mean necessarily you must guard the money in your hand the entire trip, but just like in your hand, it's in front of you, so too, the money must be in front of you where you can keep an eye on it. The Mishnah goes on and tells us that giving something to be watched by your family members who are under bar mitzvah is also not considered proper shmirah. And here the Gemara tells us that some interesting statements of Rabbi Yitzchak. One statement, Rabbi Yitzchak says, La'ilam yei kaspe shaladam matzui biyadoi. A person should always have his money in liquid assets that is always at his beck and will if he wishes to purchase something. Another member of Rabbi Yitzchak is, a person should split his money in three ways. La'ilam yashlish adam es ma'esav, shlish bekarka, shlish prakmatia, and shlish tachas yaday. One third in land, one third in merchandise, and one third liquid assets. Here the Marshal declares as two ways to learn it. Shlish bekarka might mean one third hidden under the ground, and it also might mean one third invested in real estate. Another member of Rabbi Yitzchak is Ein habracha mitzuya ela bedavar asamay min ha'ayin. Bracha is only found by items that are hidden from the eye. And he quotes the Pasuk, Yitzav Hashem Itcha Sabrocha Ba'asamecha. Ba'asamecha, he learns, is a remes to the word Samui Min Ha'ayim. Brisa then tells us a tefillah for someone who is measuring his gerin, his tvua, and even a bracha to be made when he begins the measuring process. This is even brought down Lahalacha and Simon Reish Lamed in Shulchan Aruch, but the Eliyahu Rabbah says not to say it b'shem u'malchus unless you're measuring it in order to take off meiser. Mar quotes the memory of Shmuel, Ksafim ein lam shmir ela bekarka, the only correct shmirah for money is by burying it in the ground. Taisus declares, what's the din by Shemer Socher, who's chayiv on Gneva, if he buried the money all the way down 100 amas under the ground, and nevertheless the Gneva took place? Would the Shemer be chayiv for that or not? Mar goes on to tell us that in different areas at different times, other shmiras would be the proper shmira for kesef. All depends on the location. Mar brings down machlokes if tchilasa b'pshia b'seifa b'ainus is chayiv or potter, and paskins la'alocha hilchasa tchilasa b'pshia seifa b'ainus is chayiv. In the case the Gemara gives, if some was given money to watch, and the person, instead of burying it in the ground, put it into a straw hut, and then it got stolen. On the one hand, it was a pshi in regard to fire. On the other hand, in regard to Gnev, it was a good shmir. Nevertheless, because he was pshi in regard to fire, it got stolen later. He's going to be chayv because the halacha is tilash b'shia seifa b'yainis is chayv. The Gemara relates three different interesting cases where the dayanim paskening had trouble deciding which way to go in their case. One case of a person who was given money to watch, he gave it to his mother to watch it, and his mother didn't properly guard it under the ground because she thought that her son might need the money. The Gemara tells us another case of Yisayimim who bought a cow which had no teeth, and eventually died. And then finally a case where a person asked his worker to put his haps into beer, and the worker went and took the haps that he had been guarding for someone else and put into the beer, and the beer eventually got ruined. Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph tells us a case where someone gave a pikadon of mice, of money, to a shulchani, to a banker. And the halacha is, since a banker's business is with money, unless the money is sealed, besides being tied together, the banker is allowed to use it. He's allowed to assume that the mafkid allows him to use it. That's what's mechayivim and achrayis on that money. On the other hand, a balabayis, stam a person, in other words, the halacha is that that person cannot use the money, even if it's not specially sealed. By a case of a chenveni, a storekeeper, the Mishnah tells us machlekes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara tells machlekes amarayim whether the shulchani's right to use the money is mechayivim, even on einzim, as the sheet of Rav Huna is, or as Rav Nachman says, only on gneva vaveda. Rav Nachman svaris that although the shulchani has the right to use it, until he uses it, he's not considered a shayl. He's only considered a shomer sacher because he has the right to use it when he will decide to. The next Mishnah tells us the case of a sheleach yad bepikadon, which the Gemara Mabez explains is talking about a case where the animal which the person was watching became better somehow. For instance, it grew wool. So Beishamai says that the shomer does not get to gain that shvach that the animal was mishtabech. Beisil holds he only has to pay like it was at the time when he was shaleach bayad. And Rabbi Kiva holds he has to pay kishas atfia, what it was worth at the time when the owner asked for it back. The Gemara here quotes a very famous memra of Rabba. Rabba says if someone steals a barrel of wine from his chaver, first it was worth one zuz, and later it became worth four zuz, and then he breaks it or drinks it, he must pay like the higher later price which it was worth at the time when he broke it or drank it. If it broke by itself, though, he would only pay kishas gzela. The reason for that is, since he didn't do another ma'isik neva, he's only chai for the value that it was at the time when he stole it. Mashenkin, when he breaks it, there he must pay for that new ma'isa. The very famous machlekes ktsais and asivus in Simon Lamedald, the ktsais learns that he's chai for that second ma'isa with a din mazik, whereas the asivus learns that he has a din gazlan, because he does a second ma'isik zela. First ma'isik zela of stealing it takes it out of the rishus of the owner. The second mice of drinking it or breaking it takes away the shaloi of the owner and is mechayiv midin gzela. The last mishnah of the perek on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis has two parts to it. First, the machlekes beishamai beisilel. If someone who is chayshev to be shaleach yad bikadon, he just thinks literally, or Rashi says omar b'fnei edim. Others argue and say there's no need for edim, but the person says he's going to be shaleach yad bikadon. Beishami says that itself is mechayev the shomer, but what Beisil holds, you're not chayev to pay until you're actually shaleach bayad. Second part of the Mishnah tells us that a shomer is not chayev for shlichas yad, for just spilling out something from a chavis. He has to do a maisa kinyan, he has to lift up the chavis in order to be chayev for oinsim of a shaleach yad. The Gemara on Daf Memdal and Alf tells us that the makor of the sheet of Beishami is from the words al kol devar pesha. Your chayiv only on Dvar Pesha alone is enough to be chayiv you. With the Makar of Beisil from the Pasuk of Imloy Sholach Yodai Bimelech Esmeyeyu. As long as he was not Shalech Bayad, he's not chayiv. Here the Gemara also tells the very famous halacha that by Shlichas Yad, Beisil learns out from the words, I'll call Dvar Pesha, and the Shalech Bayad is chayiv, even if he himself did not do it, if he just tells his Shlech to do it, Yeshlich l'dvar avera in regard to the din of shlichas yad. We begin the fourth parak, parak hazov. First Mishnah discusses a din which we need the yisoid for. It is that the halacha is you cannot purchase metaltalin with a kinyan of kesef. In order to acquire and consummate a deal of buying a movable item metaltalin, one must make a kinyan, a physical kinyan of either meshicha, hakbah, or the like. And at that point, the deal is consummated, and neither party can go back on the deal. Mashenkein, if someone just pays money for a chayfetz, then, according to the Tanakhama, both the loikach and the mecher could still back out on the deal. Now, when someone's buying a clear item for money, In other words, he's buying, let's say, a loaf of bread for dollar bill or silver coins, then it's klor that the money is the silver and the item that's being bought is the bread. If the lekeach takes the bread into his hand and makes a kinyan on it, then he cannot back off anymore. He must pay for the bread. If the lekeach only gives money to the storekeeper, then the halacha will be that he's not yet kinyan the bread, and the storekeeper could still back out on the deal. So could the lekeach. Now, in a case, though, where someone is purchasing one type of coin for another type of coin, we'll need to clarify which one of the coins is the item that's being bought and which one is the money that's being used to pay for the item. The Mishnah tells us that in regard to an exchange of gold coins for silver coins, the silver coins are considered the money since they're more universally accepted, while the gold is considered the item. And therefore, if Reuven has gold and wishes to exchange it with silver coins that Shimon owns, if Shimon takes the gold coins into his hands, he has made a kinyan hakbar on the chayfetz, the zahav, and now he can't back out on the deal. He must give the kesef to Reuven. On the other hand, if Reuven were to pick up the kesef, which Shimon is exchanging for his gold, Reuven has not yet consummated the deal. Shimon has paid for the gold, but again, kesef cannot acquire metaltalin. See, in the Gemara, it's a machlokes whether this is a din deraisa or a din derabanan. So the Mishnah says that zahav is considered the chayfetz, the item, and kesef is considered the coin. We do have in the Mishnah the Shita of Rab Shimon, who disagrees with the Tanakhama, and Rab Shimon says that whoever has the money, his hand is yodai al yoyna, he has the upper hand, and he can still back out, even since kesef is not kaina. Masha'enkin, the lekeach, if he gave the money already, cannot back out. We'll explain Rab Shimon later on in the parak. The Gemara tells us that Rebbe seems to have changed his Shita from his earlier days. In earlier years, Rebbe had held that Zahav was the coin, and Kesef, silver, was the item. And in exchange of Kesef and Zahav, to the contrary, when one took the Kesef in his hand, the deal was consummated. But in his later years, Rebbe was Chayzer from that Shita. As an interesting side note, when Reb Shimon, his son, confronted Rebbe with this change of view, he referred to his father as Rebbe. And there's a question here that Ramos indicates in Yeridaya, Simon Reish Nun Beis, that perhaps from here it's a Rayam, that a father must be referred to as Rebbe when he has taught his son most of his Torah learning. On the other hand, the Shach says it possibly that Rebbe had a different status because of Rebbe being Rabbim Shall Call Yisrael. The Gemara on Amud Beis brings down a Machlekes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The halacha is by Maaser Sheni, a person may take money and redeem his Maaser Sheni Peros and bring the money to Yerushalayim, and there in Yerushalayim purchase fruits with that money. But he cannot purchase fruits with the money when he's outside of Yerushalayim. He must take the money, bring it to Yerushalayim, and there buy fruits or produce. The Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in Masechta Maaser Sheni, which we quote here, whether a person can take Dinrei Zahav of Maaser Sheni and Dinrei Kesef of Maaser Sheni and exchange them for Dinrei Zahav. Beis Shammai says he may not do that because Zahav has a din of Paris, and therefore one cannot exchange Kesef, money of Maaser Sheni, for produce, for gold, which is considered like a chayfetz, whereas Beis Hillel holds it's mutter, because Beis Hillel holds that Zahav is coins when compared to Kesef, which would mean that Beis Shammai comes out like Rebbe Shita in our Mishnah, where Beis Hillel is like the Shita of Rebbe of earlier on, which of course is a bit problematic, why Rebbe Lamaskana would come out like Beis Shammai. Some say, Lamaskana, we have to switch over the dinim, the Shitas of Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai, while other Rishonim say that Rebbe in his older age came to the conclusion that there was no Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in this matter, but rather everyone agrees that Zahav is considered a chayfetz as compared to silver. The Gemara brings down Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was only in regard to exchanging silver coins into gold coins, or perhaps the Machlokes is even when exchanging Paris of Maaser Sheni onto gold coins, which would mean that according to Beis Shammai, gold coins are bechlal not considered a coin in regard to being paid a Maaser Sheni. On the other hand, the other sheet is that the Machlokes is only in regard to exchanging silver coins for gold coins, but in regard to exchanging Paris for gold coins, everyone would agree that gold is considered a coin and not a produce. The Gemara in Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph brings another version, another lashon, the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. According to this version, they argue that by Shammai and by Silin, their machlokes, whether you can exchange gold, silver coins into gold coins, are arguing the following matter. By Shammai says that you're not allowed to switch one kesef rishon, into a kesef sheni. When the Torah says v'tzarta hakesef biyodcha, that you must bind the money which you exchange your ma'isa sheni peris in your hand and bring it through Shalayim to buy produce, the word hakesef, the kesef, comes to teach you that only the original money that you redeemed your ma'isa sheni peris on must be brought through Shalayim. While Basil holds, the fact that the word kesef was repeated in the pasuk comes to teach us that you're allowed to exchange the first kesef and make a kesef sheni. So it actually has nothing to do with the problem of gold or silver being one being considered a chayfetz or one being considered money in regard to the other. And therefore, according to this, and in regard to exchanging peris for gold coins, Beis Shammai would agree that you're allowed to. Whereas the other mandamar holds that the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is in regard to the din of the status of gold. Is gold considered a chayfetz or is gold considered a coin? And therefore, Beis Shammai would hold you can't even change peris of ma'isa sheni onto gold coins. Finally, the Gemara offers a third version of the machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish, which is actually an amended version of the second way, in which we say that the machlokes between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is either the one version always remains the same, that they argue even when redeeming peris onto dinarim of gold, or the other mandama says machlokes is only when exchanging silver coins for gold coins, and it's not a question of kesef sheni, but rather a question of perhaps we should not allow this because maybe some would come to hold on to his ma'isa sheni coins, waiting until he has enough silver coins to add up to a gold dinar. This is a problem because one might either be over on the assay, according to Ben Chananel, of coming up to be Eila Regal for Yom Tov, or perhaps he would delay it so long that he'd be over on the Indian of Bal Ta'achar in regard to using up his Ma'isa Sheni money. The Gemara Memheyam and Beis brings down a Machlekes Rav and Levi, whether Matbeya Nasa Chalipin or Ein Matbeya Nasa Chalipin. Can a coin be used as the object of a Kinyan Chalipin? Kinyan Chalipin is normally referred to as Kinyan Suder. If Reuven wishes to exchange something with Shimon, he'll give his pen or handkerchief over to Shimon. When Shimon picks up the pen or the handkerchief, his item automatically becomes Reuven's. Now, usually we use a chayfetz, a keli, for this. Machlokes between Rav and Levi is whether a coin can be used for chalipin or not. If Papa says, despite the fact they argue whether a coin can be used to be the object to make the kinyan chalipin, it is no machlokes in regard to a coin being acquired by chalipin, which means if I were to use a handkerchief, a keli, and give it to my chaver, by taking my handkerchief, would then be makted to me his coin, and the deal then would be consummated. Rav Papa compares this to the dinner of Nachman. Rav Nachman holds that peros, fruits or produce, cannot be used for kinyan chalipin. Nevertheless, a person could acquire peros through the act of chalipin. In other words, the Gemara in Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph tells us, brings Raya's Keneged Rav Papa, and the Gemara Maskana says even Rav Papa was chayzer and says that a coin cannot be acquired through chalipin. If so, certainly that Raya also proves that a coin cannot be used as the instrument to make a kinyan chalipin. And the Gemara gives the reason, because a coin is not something which has intrinsic value. When someone takes a coin, his machshava, his kavana is on the imprint on the coin, not on the coin itself. The Gemara here mentions two machlokes in the sugya Sagemara. One, the machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, whether chalipin has to be done dafka with a keli, or whether fruit or produce can be used. Rav Nachman shita is only a keli can be used for chalipin. Another veltz machlokes the Gemara brings down here is machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether the din that kesef cannot acquire metaltlin is a din d'oraisa, as the shita of Reish Lakish is, or whether it's only a din derabbanan, which is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that min ha'Torah mois could be kaina, and it's only a gzeira derabbanan, because we're afraid that the seller, upon receiving the money, will tie it to the lekeach, that there was an accident and the fire broke out, and the chitim which we had bought, nisrafu chitecha ba'aliyah, your chitim got burnt in my second floor apartment. In other words, If he has already sold the chitim, he may not be responsible and allow them to get destroyed and claim his innocence. The Gemara tells us din of Rish Lakish, that that which our Mishnah said in the beginning of the Perek, that all metaltlin can be used in exchange one for the other. Rish Lakish says it's even a purse full of coins. The Gemara explains in the name of Acha that that is talking about coins which have become either pusil, the government has disqualified them, or that the coins were no longer accepted by the merchants as money. Since the merchants no longer take them as money, they lose their shame kesef. They are now called regular metaltlin, and hence they can be used for kinyan chalipin as any other metaltlin.